Good afternoon to you. How are you doing? I hope you're well. It's Friday, September 30th, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. Ordinarily would be at BVTV Television Studio today, but for a very good reason we can't be there. So I'm going to do an hour's worth of news for you instead. So much to get through. As usual, you can contact me at any time on Twitter or through the email. I'll give you all those details in a couple of minutes.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
There you are. It is live. It's live indeed. The Twitter details are at Richie Allen Show, and you can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. I mentioned yesterday, by the way, welcome. And thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate your company. I mentioned yesterday that there was another serious security breach at BVTV Studios in North Manchester. Yeah, it's in North Manchester, not far from Cheetham Hill. A few weeks back, the equipment was stolen. Very, very general statement that, isn't it? I should qualify that. Hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of equipment was stolen from BVTV a few weeks ago. And they obviously were insured mostly and were able to recover the equipment necessary to put the TV studio back on the, well, back on the rails, I suppose, back in production. But what happened yesterday was they found an intruder shortly after the offices, because BVTV is situated in a building with other businesses in close proximity. And in the compound area, which is supposed to be secured, they found a intruder. They haven't yet managed to beef up the security. Well, they have. Well, from today they will have. From today they will have 24-hour-a-day security there, and that will be okay going forward. But yesterday, so worried were they about it that they took all the audiovisual equipment out of there and stored it at another location, meaning that Hayden Hewitt couldn't do the Live Leak television show last night on liveleak.com, and I couldn't go there to do this Friday's television show, the Richie Allen Show. So what I've done, what I've decided to do is basically come on air. We've got a brand new, as you know by now, multi-purpose, fully self-contained, and I have to say, state-of-the-art radio studio attached to my house where I live. And it means it's quite simple for me to do the television show, leave out the video, obviously, and do a radio show today. So I'm delighted to be doing that, and thanks for your company, as I said already. So you can tweet at Richie Allen Show, that's my Twitter handle, and you can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Now, for some reason, I'm struggling to open my email at richieallen.co.uk, so I suggest if you do want to talk to me and you do want to say anything to me, please do tweet it to at Richie Allen Show. So it's the week ending Friday, September 30th. I'm going to have a look back at some of the bigger stories of the week, and one or two stories making the headlines today. As a big story making the headlines today, I'm going to jump right into it now. Now, Ben Emerson QC, as you will probably know today, is the most, or was the most, senior lawyer working for the Independent Inquiry into Historical Child Sexual Abuse in England and Wales. Now, he's resigned. He resigned last night. Now, he had been suspended. He was suspended on Wednesday. He was suspended by Professor Alexis Jay. She's the new chair of the Independent Inquiry. She's the fourth chair of the Independent Inquiry. All very serious, right? She suspended him on Wednesday, saying there were concerns over his leadership. Now, he resigned last night, saying that he was no longer the right person for the role. That's what he said. But he denied that the resignation had anything to do with his opinion of, or a difference of opinion with, Professor Alexis Jay. Survivors are not happy, understandably. And the Shirley Oaks Survivors Association said it was devastated by the news. British Prime Minister Theresa May, she said she still has confidence in the inquiry. Now, the resignation on Thursday of Ben Emerson QC came only a couple of weeks after it emerged that the second most senior lawyer, Elizabeth Prochaska, had stepped down. That happened on the 15th of September. Now, it's not editorialising, and it's not unfair to say this is one monumental mess of an inquiry. The BBC suggested, BBC Newsnight, that Ben Emerson's resignation yesterday was down to the fact that there were serious problems in his working relationship with Mrs. Prochaska. Others are saying it has to do with his lack of confidence in the chair, Professor Alexis Jay. It's a mess. The BBC writes today, the two resignations are the latest blows to an inquiry that has already been beset by problems. As I just mentioned, Professor Alexis Jay is the fourth person to be appointed to lead the inquiry after three chairwomen stood down. It's been a nightmare, right? Been a nightmare. Just to remind you, the inquiry was originally set up to examine whether public bodies, including the police, had failed in their duty to protect children from sexual abuse. And the inquiry was also set up to examine claims of abuse involving well-known people. Now, Ian McFadden was abused. He's a survivor. And he tweeted, "Honestly, this is truly a sad day for victims and survivors of abuse when we lose one of the world's leading civil rights lawyers, Ben Emerson." Now, Michael Mansfield is a well-known human rights lawyer in Britain. He's a barrister, and he appeared on BBC Radio 5 Live's breakfast show earlier today. Often mentioned this particular programme. Did Michael Mansfield? Yeah, let me just get that ready. So Mansfield was on BBC Breakfast Radio today. The presenter, a guy called Chris Warburton, first asked him, how important was Ben Emerson's role in the inquiry?
Well, extremely important role, because he's been there since pretty much the start. And as a lawyer to the inquiry, he will be preparing, obviously, and marshalling evidence on the one hand and legal submissions on the other, for the benefit of the chair, whoever that happens to be at any one time. And we've been through one or two, as you know. So that role couldn't be more important, actually pivotal, for keeping something like this on the straight and narrow.
Why do you think he's gone?
Well, I would be speculating. I know what he said, and he thinks it's time for someone else to take over. I can't go further than that. He's an extremely accomplished lawyer. I know him extremely well, and he would not be standing down unless there were very good reasons. And it may be sometimes fatigue and exhaustion. I've no idea. Yeah. So I can't go further than that.
Mm. That's a pretty ringing endorsement from Mansfield as to the suitability of Ben Emerson. He basically said he's a brilliant lawyer, and that he must have had a very good reason. Mansfield said he might be exhausted, but couldn't speculate further. I'm willing to bet, dear listeners, that Mansfield has pretty strong views about the resignation. And in fact, he hints at those views shortly. Now, next in the interview today, the presenter, Chris Warburton, asked him, doesn't Emerson's resignation, and indeed all the other high-profile resignations, means that the inquiry basically goes back to the start?
Well, I hope not. I hope it's not going to go back to the start, because a lot of good work has been done. And of course, as Theresa May and others have been saying regularly, you know, one mustn't forget the object of this, which is reaching the truth and accountability for the survivors in relation to this. The fact is, I think, but when they started, I think they had no idea of the scope, in the sense that it touches so many aspects of our communities and lives. And it's extremely important, therefore, that this matter is not run into the sand, but is followed through. There have been many other inquiries on major topics, some of which I've been involved in, and it requires a firmness of spirit, an independence of spirit, and a willingness to continue. Now, this one, I think, is very unusual, and I think, from one point of view, one chair is not sufficient. There should be more than one chair. It's too big for one chair. Right. So you need somebody at the top, obviously, and then you have a series of other chairs that deal with aspects of this inquiry, which have to be coordinated. And it hasn't, as far as I can see, it hasn't really been managed that well.
It hasn't been managed that well, said Mansfield. Deliberately, of course. Now, we know it's deliberate, you and I. Mansfield won't and can't say that. He said the government didn't realise the scale of this from the start. Again, I would say Mansfield is boxing very clever here. It's the very nature of the scale of it, in my opinion, that has seen the constant disruption. Chairs resigning, barristers resigning. That's why this is happening. It is obfuscation. It is stonewalling. This inquiry is not meant to succeed. This is why, at the very beginning, the former Home Secretary Theresa May, now the Prime Minister, was appointing people to head up the inquiry, namely Fiona Wolfe and Elizabeth Butler-Sloss, who had ties to the establishment and ties to people accused of child abuse. They don't want it to work. Now, as for the new chair of the inquiry, Professor Alexis Jay, Mansfield had this to say.
The fact is, they've now got onto their fourth chair, OK? Now, the criticism of this chair is somewhat different to the earlier ones. The criticism is that she's part of the problem, being coming from a social work background. And so some of the survivors are finding that, you know, trust and faith and confidence is being undermined by that. So that's one aspect of it. The other is she's not a lawyer. So how is she going to come to all the many manifold of decisions that have to be taken in relation to evidence admissibility and so on? Now, she can be advised, but she's actually, at the end of the day, she's not a lawyer. So I think it needs a lawyer co-chair or more than one. As well as a lawyer who's advising on aspects of the inquiry itself.
So you're listening to that and you're waiting for the presenter to jump in and ask Michael Mansfield QC, why did they appoint her, Michael? That's what the gormless, feckless, useless BBC presenter will never do. I'd be right in there. Tell me, Michael, in your opinion, why did they appoint this woman, Professor Alexis Jay, if she's not qualified? Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that I'm a better radio presenter than Chris Warburton or Claire McDonnell or Rachel Burden or Nikki Campbell. It's not about that. It's not about that. Despite the fact that most of these people get into television and radio for narcissistic reasons, not because they love the news and they love information, because they're inquisitive. They get into it to be famous. But even though they do get into it because they want to be famous, they're not the dumbest people of all time. When Warburton was listening to Michael Mansfield there, listing the reasons why Professor Alexis Jay is not qualified to do the job, the question is welling up inside Warburton. Why did they appoint her, Michael? But he can't ask it because of where it might lead. This is the media. What have we said on this programme? Time and time again, the media is a clear and present danger to your health, to the security of you and your family and your well-being. And then comes the sting in the tail of this interview today, broadcast this morning on BBC Radio 5 Live. You can check the entire interview, or listen to it, I should say, by going to the BBC iPlayer, if you think I'm misrepresenting it. I'm not. It only lasted about 5 minutes. The presenter, Warburton, then asks Michael Mansfield, would you be up for the job?
Well, I know a lot of people have been putting my name forward. I've said from the very beginning that I'm willing to consider this, but actually, whether they feel that I might be a little too inquisitive, which has been my style for 50 years, I don't know, but I think that's what's needed.
Can you be? You can be too inquisitive on something like this, can you?
No, you can't. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying that I would have thought, since not very many people are going to step up to the lectern on this one, I'm certainly willing to consider it. As far as I know, nobody's actually lifted the telephone yet. I don't know what they're worried about, but anyway.
I don't know what they're worried about. I might be too inquisitive. And again, check the entire interview on the BBC iPlayer. Warburton doesn't follow up. This is dynamite for any radio presenter in the world. A senior human rights lawyer, a man whose stock has never been higher around the world, is saying they haven't contacted me, maybe because I'm a bit too inquisitive. Now, any decent presenter would have interrupted him and said, Michael, are you suggesting there's a cover-up here? People are worried about over-inquisitiveness. What might come out? I don't know a lot about Michael Mansfield, except that he's highly regarded, both on the left and the right of the political spectrum in this country. He's been involved in different inquiries over the years. He was involved in the Hillsborough inquiry, of course. His stock is very high, as I said. He's considered to be independent of the establishment and somebody who will do an honest job. He's saying on national radio today, I might be deemed a bit too inquisitive. What else can you conclude from that? That there is a deep state cover-up to prevent the full scale of abuse as documented by David Icke in The Biggest Secret and in subsequent books by David Icke, the global scale of predatory child abuse and satanic abuse by the establishment and by the captains of industry. Unbelievable. 16 minutes past the hour. This is a special Friday show in lieu of the television show with me, Richie Allen, broadcasting live right now anyway on davidicke.com, my own website, the wonderful fabradiointernational.com and the TuneIn app as well.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
My producer Claire Calvey is asking a very salient question of me. Have we tried to get Michael Mansfield QC on the programme? We have on a couple of occasions contacted his chambers and we were never responded to. So, and that's not, you know, in any way to criticise Mansfield. I'm just answering that very question. Because presumably you as a listener are asking the same question. Why would you not try and get him on the programme? We have endeavoured to get him on the programme several times since we began in September 2014, but we've never received an answer. Thanks for your tweets. Hi to Spirit Samba, who's listening to us while having a spot of lunch. Little Glob tweets, the inquiry is a farce and I suspect it's done on purpose. I really feel for the survivors. Will they ever get justice? Well, I'll tell you what, Little Glob on Twitter. Later on in that short interview on BBC Radio 5 Live Today, Mansfield conceded that were the inquiry to continue unmolested by the sorts of problems it's had since it was set up, it would still take at least a decade before it could report. Think about that. Think about that. Now, I'm not blaming Mansfield for that. I'm saying if it's going to take a decade, many of those, I believe, responsible for some of the most sickening, unimaginable crimes against children in this country, well, they'll be dead, won't they? They'll be brown bread. Handy that, isn't it? Hi to Terry Harcott. Hi to Faisal, who's listening. Alex Doust says that it's stories like this are testing the water. To see who gives a crap if nobody speaks out, they'll abandon it. I think what you're basically saying there, Alex, is ultimately, when these things are drawn out like that, yes, there is a public detachment from it. People detach themselves from it. I wouldn't say they get bored of it, but they forget it and they move on. And it creeps on and it creeps on. And if in 3 years' time there's a massive problem with the integrity of the inquiry, well, the government can fire somebody and say, oh, Jesus, look what's happened. The inquiry has gone belly up. We're going to have to start all over again. Faisal, the aforementioned, tweets, Mansfield finally sticking out as the obvious choice for this inquiry. The survivors have long been clamouring for. That's true. Survivors have, for a long time, been throwing his name out there as somebody who they trust to do an absolutely independent and a completely ethical job of investigating what we know in the independent media, well, at least some of the independent media, we know is on a scale that's unimaginable for most people. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com for Friday, September 30th, 2016. I want to say hi to Anne Selly, who suggested, since we've moved into the new studio, that I've not been as ranty or as shouty. And maybe that's down to the fact that we have a dog. It's not really down to that, Anne. I do have the occasional rant. I try to minimise the rants. I don't like people screaming and shouting about things. I don't think it enamours the programme to moderate people or people whom are just getting interested in the independent media. I don't think shouting regularly is a good thing. And I try to avoid it, to be honest. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Daniel Ford tweets, some people wouldn't care if the truth came out tomorrow. Never mind the end of the inquiry. Sad but true. If it takes 10 years, what does that take us? What does that tell us about the scale of establishment paedophilia and child abuse? Well, Daniel, it says that those of us who believe that it permeates every section of the establishment, every aspect of it, every avenue. Captains of industry, as we said, royalty, central banking, politics, every single avenue you go down, it's touched by satanic and ritualistic abuse. I have no doubt in my mind. Going to move on then. Going to move on from that. Fascinating that, Michael Mansfield. If I get a chance afterwards, I'll find a link to the iPlayer BBC Radio 5 Live Breakfast Show programme, because they put everything on iPlayer. But I've given you the gist of the interview in what I've played. It's only about 5.5 minutes long. On a lighter note, I've been interested to see the claims coming from Donald Trump's supporters in the United States that the first presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump was basically fixed, and that the host of the debate, a guy called Lester Holt, I should call him the moderator, they say that this guy was reading body language signals from Hillary Clinton and was basically in cahoots with her to allow her jump in with some well-rehearsed zingers at opportune moments during the debate. Now, we would have gotten into this on the television show because we could have showed you some video, but this is radio, so we can't do it on the radio, unfortunately. But it is interesting, when you do look at the debate, it does seem at some particular points in it, Hillary is making gestures with her fingers on her cheek. And shortly afterwards, the moderator, Lester Holt, not really following along with what Trump is saying, does give her the opportunity to jump in and say some things. It's very interesting, but it's not really conclusive. But those whom are wrapped up in the idea that Donald Trump is anti-establishment and that he's going to be a good bet, anybody but Hillary, and of course they're totally wrong. We know they're wrong, God love them, even though some of them are our friends in the independent media, but they are wrong. I'm not so much interested in whether Lester Holt was in on the Clinton camp's side of the debate and whether he was helping her out. I'm more interested in why there was no information brought into the debate, no mention in the debate of Benghazi, of Hillary breaking the law by sending classified information on her private email server, on insider trading, Hillary giving insider information to her son-in-law, Mark Mizvinsky, that enabled him to make bets on the Greek debt crisis. Now, he was managing a hedge fund. Didn't matter. He didn't make any money. I originally thought he did. They made some money. They didn't make any money. But again, it's insider trading. The fact that Hillary Clinton, the top diplomat in the United States, was watching the intelligence around the Greek bailout and was giving information with two friends and family, which they were making bets on. Whether they made successful bets or not, it's a bloody crime. So why was none of this mentioned in the debate? And here's a question for you, dear listener. Why are Trump supporters screaming at the moderator, Lester Holt, and saying, ah, Lester, you didn't ask any serious questions of Hillary Clinton. Ah, Lester, you were reading Hillary's body language signals. Why are Trump supporters not asking the Don with the dodgy Barnett? Why wasn't he bringing up any of this in the debate? Hey, Donald, you had plenty of time. Why didn't you ask about insider trading? Why didn't you ask about the Clinton Foundation? But Trump won't, you see, because he's an actor on a stage playing his part. And Trump supporters don't want to believe it, but that's a fact. Moving on. What time is it? 26 minutes past the hour. Now, in February 2014, a few months before this programme began, a coup took place in Ukraine that saw the overthrow of Viktor Yanukovych, the democratically elected president of the country. The coup was orchestrated by Victoria Nuland, the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the US State Department. She was enabled, or she was ably assisted, I should say, in orchestrating the coup by Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who became Prime Minister of Ukraine after what they called a democratic revolution. It was a coup. It was a coup. And you might know this already, but Yatsenyuk was former vice president of the Bank of Ukraine too. Rothschild Zionist up to the gills. So Yats, as the great Ray McGovern has dubbed him, great man Ray, and Victoria Nuland, the wife of neocon Senator Bob Kagan, between them oversaw a coup in Ukraine. Here's Nigel Farage, only a couple of weeks after the coup, explaining exactly what happened, to the, to the European Parliament. Here's Farage.
This EU empire, ever seeking to expand, stated its territorial claim on the Ukraine some years ago. Just to make that worse, of course, some NATO members said they too would like the Ukraine to join NATO. We directly encouraged the uprising in the Ukraine that led to the toppling of the President Yanukovych, and that led, of course, in turn, to Vladimir Putin reacting. And the moral of the story is, if you poke the Russian bear with a stick, don't be surprised when he reacts. Now, just to continue with that, today we are rushing through an association agreement at undue speed with the Ukraine, and as we speak, there are NATO soldiers engaged in military exercises in the Ukraine. Have we taken leave of our senses? Do we actually want to have a war with Putin? Because if we do, we're certainly going about it the right way. Perhaps we ought to recognise that the West now faces the biggest threat and crisis to our way of life that we have seen for over 70 years.
Of course they want a war. The Archon-controlled Rothschild, Warburg, Oppenheimer puppets, Rockefeller puppets want war. And that's what this is really all about. And to be fair to Farage and others like him, they have no idea how deep it goes, what really is standing behind all of this, and what the end game is for these people. That was Farage explaining exactly what happened in Ukraine. It was an outrage. It was a crime against the people of Ukraine and the people of the world. He explained there that they were already making association agreements between the EU and the new puppet government in Ukraine. This was in 2014. NATO were moving in. And what you don't know is that just before he was, or just after he was appointed to the position of Prime Minister of Ukraine, Arseny Yatsenyuk flew to America and had meeting after meeting after meeting with some of the world's biggest globalists and basically sold everything in Ukraine for pennies on the dollar. Sold out every state asset. All of this happened under the noses of the people of Ukraine. This is true. Now, after the coup, as you know, Russia annexed Crimea. Why wouldn't it? It being their only option to secure their only deep water base at Sevastopol. What could Russia do? We've said this on this programme 1,000 times. What could they do? NATO countries, reneging on promises made after the fall of the Berlin Wall, are surrounding you, pushing right up to your borders and overthrowing democratically elected presidents right next door to you. So when Russia annexed Crimea, NATO didn't like it. The alliance didn't like it one bit. And the annexation of Crimea was followed by armed conflict, of course. You know all this by now. Just going over it. Bit of a recap. The annexation was followed by an armed conflict between the Ukrainian puppet government of Petro Poroshenko and Russian citizens living in eastern Ukraine. So, against this backdrop, we had the shooting down of Malaysian flight MH17, which was bound for Kuala Lumpur, shot down over the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine on the 17th of July 2014. You know this by now. 298 people, passengers and crew, were killed. Dreadful stuff. Can't imagine it, and I don't want to imagine it. I saw some photographs this week taken by some of the passengers just before the plane took off and put on Instagram before they had to switch off their mobile devices. Terrible. Children. Women. Men. No idea what was coming. Now, of course, the US and the UK blamed the Russian separatists, as they called them, and said the missile was supplied by Russia. Now, that happened in the first 2 to 3 days after the plane was shot down. It was Russia. It was Russian separatists. Oh, there's a big conspiracy here. But shortly after that, a couple of weeks after the plane was shot down, US intelligence agencies, including the NSA, were saying that in fact there was no evidence of Russian involvement. Right? Remember that. I've got a clip of Ron Paul for you. Former Republican Senator Ron Paul. Now, he was on Fox News a couple of weeks after the disaster. Listen to what he says. Couple of weeks after the plane came down. This is really interesting.
Well, it's a political football is what it is. I personally don't know who shot down a plane. I don't know the motivations, but I've thought a lot about it. I've thought about who would benefit from shooting down the airplane. One thing is Russia wouldn't benefit by it. I mean, it would be foolish for them to participate in something like that. The rebels, possibly, if they made a mistake, thinking they were shooting something else down, I guess that's conceivable. But if you're looking for a false flag, the false flag would have to come from Western Ukraine and then blame somebody else in order to stir up what is happening. But the one point that I try to make, and I think it's a legitimate point, is we do have a lot of technology. Sometimes we have a lot of information when we don't use it well, and as a matter of fact, we get too much and it becomes bureaucratic. But I am convinced that the United States had a lot of information about everything going on in the skies over Ukraine during this period of time. I mean, they know what was going on. I mean, we participated in a coup, and it was very, very important. So I think our government has been talking a lot less about it. At the beginning, it was immediate. Oh, Russia did it, and then they wanted to drop it. And then when our intelligence group came out and says, no, there's no evidence that Russia was a participant in it, then the propaganda continued, but they allowed it to stand. I think most Americans right now believe that Russia was responsible for all this.
So at the time, Paul said it could have been a false flag coming from Western Ukraine, maybe. Maybe. Russia had nothing to gain whatsoever. We'd participated in a coup, said Ron Paul. We also have the technology, he said, to know who and what shot down that plane, as our presence in the area, the NATO presence, is massive. And this is the sort of good stuff, you see, that you don't get from the BBC, from Fox News, from CNN, or whatever. No questioning whatsoever the official account. Well, you have all sorts of military technology and hardware in the area now that you've got a new puppet government in Ukraine. How could anybody shoot down a plane without you being able to stop it? Or without your foreknowledge of it? How could people be sneaking missile launchers into that area from Russia without your knowledge of it? False flags, eh? False flags. So who's been investigating this then? Well, the Dutch, who spirited away the black box, the flight data recorder. Amazingly that. I mean, that's unprecedented, that. The Aussies, the Brits, and yes, Ukraine herself. All puppets of the US. And I mentioned on the radio show this week that Ukraine investigating the shooting down of that plane when Ukraine would have to be one of the chief suspects in it is an absolute affront to democracy, and it's affront. It's an affront to proper judicial criminal proceedings. You couldn't trust it. So this week, as you know, and what we're doing today is we're wrapping up the big stories of the week. Those prosecutors, led by the Dutch, those bastard stoners, the Dutch, they came out and they said, well, we intercepted some phone calls. Some witnesses reported seeing the missile launcher move from Russia, and we saw some pictures and some videos. Not going to share those with you, though. Maybe they don't want to jeopardize the mission. So where are these witnesses? Again, I've been asking this question all week long. Nobody knows. BBC Newsnight spoke to Dmitry Peshkov. He's a spokesman for Vladimir Putin. He's chief spokesman at the Kremlin, and he had this to say to the BBC.
Well, first of all, we cannot accept as a final truth what they say. And I bet you haven't seen any proofs of that statement. We have to be very precise. It's a very serious tragedy. And we cannot operate only statements, bold statements, without any proofs, without any details. We know that the devil is inside those details, and unfortunately, we're still missing lots of the details to be able and to find ourselves in a right to say that this was in that way and this weapon came from that part, from that direction, or from this direction.
Absolutely right. No proof whatsoever, said Peshkov. Come back to us when you've got proof of it. Also, it must be noted that the Russians were prepared from the get-go to be willing participants in the investigation, but they were ignored. No statements were taken by those leading the investigation. No statements were taken from the Russian military or the Russian government. Think about that. Think about that while you're at it. So that was Peshkov talking to the BBC. No proof. Why would Russia do it? Why would the Russian government authorise the blowing up of a passenger jet killing 298 people? You have to ask yourself, where's the upside? Back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Now, Danny tweets, Danny Warden, how you doing, Danny? Putin is an actor in this whole scenario and is deeper down the rabbit hole as the Rothschilds control Russia's national bank, says Danny. Daniel was back on to say, if we keep looking to government and the mainstream media to understand foreign policy, the Third World War will happen. People have to do their own research, and it wouldn't do any harm for the mainstream media to do their own research as well. But of course, Daniel, as you well know, the media collectively as a unit is owned by the same dark actors responsible for what's happening in Syria and what's happening elsewhere in the world. Faisal came back on to say the media has constantly lied about Crimea as Ukrainian territory. It never was. Crimea voted for autonomy in 1992. Again, that's absolutely right. It's 100% right. Alex was on to say that, I think referring to Hillary Clinton, that her kind of insider trading is like breaking into a home but not stealing anything. It's still a crime. It's still being ignored. Thanks for that. Alex, if you want to tweet me, it's at Richie Allen Show, richie@richieallen.co.uk. But don't, I must repeat again, don't email me because I can't at the moment log in to my emails. Found this very interesting. We're only about 6 weeks away from the debates, not from the debates, from the election in November, of course. We will cover it. Sadly, we'll cover it. And we'll do that because, you know, I suppose a lot of our listeners are very interested in it, even though it's our contention that the election is nothing. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter because either of them is in the control of the same Arcanti-controlled puppets that we mentioned earlier on. What made me laugh, though, was Michelle Obama gave a speech last night. And in it, she's obviously on the campaign trail supporting Hillary Clinton. In the speech, she had this to say about Donald Trump.
Because when making life or death, war or peace decisions, a president just can't pop off or lash out irrationally. No, we need an adult in the White House. So if a candidate is erratic and threatening, if a candidate traffics in prejudice, fears, and lies on the campaign trail, if a candidate thinks that not paying taxes makes you smart, or that it's good business when people lose their homes, if a candidate regularly and flippantly makes cruel and insulting comments about women, about how we look, how we act, well, sadly, that's who that candidate really is. That is the kind of president they will be. Hillary is tough.
She's tough, all right, is Hillary. I can't watch Michelle on television without looking for an Adam's apple. I love all that Michelle is a tranny stuff. I love all that. I think it began with Joan Rivers. Did she pass away this year, Joan, or was it late last year? The obviously legendary comedian who made a comment, didn't she, as she was getting out of a car and entering a building, presumably an apartment owned by her in New York, that Michelle is a tranny. And what's really funny about all of that is there are those whom consume independent media more than anything else and have gone so far down the rabbit hole of their own minds that they believe this stuff, you know. Now, I don't know for a fact. The wonderful thing is you can't prove a negative. A negative is something you can't prove. That's a mathematical fact. But I don't believe Michelle Obama is a tranny. It's Friday. You can forgive me. 17 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to be with you for another 6 or 7 minutes, I suppose. And then we're going to part company. But it's a couple of interesting things to get through before then. It's been announced today. It's been announced today by the Institute for Fiscal Studies that people in their 30s are only half as well off as those in their 40s were at the same stage. So those born in the 1980s have an average net household wealth of £27,000 per adult, including housing, financial and private state pension assets. This compares with the £53,000 enjoyed by those who were born in the 1970s. The study, as I said, conducted by the Institute for Fiscal Studies, found children born in the 1980s have found it much harder to build up wealth in housing and pensions as they age. Rising house prices, mean those born in that decade have the lowest home ownership rates for any generation in half a century. Just 40% are owner-occupiers at the age of 30, compared with 55% of those born in post-war decades at the same stage in life. Now this, of course, makes perfect sense to us on this programme. Please go to youtube.com, see our interviews with Martina Doyle from The Hub Ireland, see our interviews with Professor Alex Scott-Samuel, Professor of Social Health at Liverpool University, see our interviews with David Icke, see our interview yesterday with Nomi Prins. This is deliberate. All over the news, just as I was coming on actually today, I noticed that Sky News and BBC News 24 were all over this particular story. The later you are born, the more difficult it is for you and the less you will have. Of course, because as the agenda gathers pace, the Orwellian Hunger Games Society agenda, you are going to have less and less and less. You will not own anything. You will be part of the, how did Martina Doyle put it exactly? I referred to it last night. You will be part of an ever-increasing renting generation. You will be beholden to corporations who own every aspect of your life. You won't be able to afford to own a car. You will have to lease. It's the way it's going. Not going to labour that point. Something we've covered time and time again on the programme. Like I said, there are dozens and dozens of interviews on the Richie Allen YouTube channel uploaded by Simon Stewart that basically will prove what's happening. Paul Alawi, how you doing, Paul? Richie, Clinton isn't irrational, he says, ? She cheered at the death of Gaddafi. That's rational behaviour, says Paul. Paul, you know what? It was so obvious. There was no point in me commenting on what Obama said about Trump and then relating it to the crimes of Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is one of the world's great gangsters. We spent a lot of time in recent programmes talking about the Clinton Foundation, which is the greatest money laundering operation in the world. It really is. The murders and the mysterious disappearances of people around the Clintons over the years who may have at some stage testified against the Clintons' disappearances. This is an absolute, how do they say it? She is an arch criminal. That's the word, an arch criminal. Moving on then, just before we finish up. Interesting this week as well, not long after the 15th anniversary of September the 11th, the US President Barack Obama had his veto overridden. He had vetoed the bill that would have allowed the families of those who were killed on September the 11th take legal action against Saudi Arabia. Congress passed a bill to make it possible for the families to take legal action. Obama vetoed it because, of course, he is connected up to the gills with the House of Saud, isn't he? He vetoed it, but Congress overrode the veto. Obama said, this is a big mistake. The Saudis have come out today and said, we're really concerned about it. We don't like it at all. Here's a couple of congressmen and senators talking about why it's important that the bill was passed in the first place.
These families will never get back their loved ones, but they deserve justice and a day in court.
The Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act will send a strong message to those who sponsor terrorist attacks on American soil, including foreign governments, will answer to those victims and pay for the death and destruction that they cause.
Fair enough. Couldn't argue with that. If the road leads to the House of Saud, to the Saudis, to Prince Bandar and all those maniacs in Saudi Arabia, well, then the victims should be able to go down that road. I've never claimed to know who was responsible for September the 11th. Now, don't start throwing things at your phone, at your tablet, at your radio. We know why September the 11th happened. We know that. But who the Rothschild Zionists got to carry it out, whether it was Mossad, whether it was the CIA, or whether it was cronies from Saudi Arabia, I don't know. Doesn't matter, really. We know why it happened. We know who benefited from it. But if the roads led down to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabian involvement, well, of course, the family should have their day in court, shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? Obama's spokesman, well, his press secretary wasn't happy about it.
The United States of America is more deeply engaged in more countries around the world than any other country in the world. So carving out additional exceptions to sovereign immunity puts the United States at greater risk than any other country in the world.
Of course, if we open up the doors to people suing sovereign governments around the world, we are absolutely fucked. I would imagine there are 500 to 1,000 mothers in Fallujah who might employ a barrister, a solicitor, an attorney to sue the US government for their children being born with some of the worst deformities ever seen in babies, ever. All documented by The Guardian. All documented by The Independent and the great Robert Fisk. Depleted uranium munitions rained down on the people of Fallujah. That's just one of thousands of war crimes committed by the great Satan. So of course they're terrified. I know there are some of you saying on Twitter, oh Richie, it's to divert attention away from Mossad and the US itself. Eh, maybe. I don't think so though. I think it's more to do with, we can't have a precedent like that. We cannot have one of our closest allies, Saudi Arabia, sued by our people, because it opens it up all over the world then for the British government to be sued. Maybe a lot of people in Northern Ireland would like to sue the British government. I'm sure they would. Amazing stuff, that. Amazing. We can't have a precedent like that, said Obama. That's kind of it for the programme today. Thanks for bearing with me. It's 8 minutes to the top of the hour. We will return, of course, live on Monday at 8 p.m. BST for the regular Richie Allen radio show. And I am informed that the television show will return next week, Friday. What will that be? Will it be the 6th of October? I think so. Friday, October 6th, we will return with the Richie Allen television show. All will be back to normal at BVTV. Thank you so much, as always, for supporting the show. I put some statistics on Facebook today about where the programme has picked up around the world. The live show is listened to. It's picked up. The live show now, listen, is listened to in 132 countries. The podcast, which is hosted on Podomatic, has been number one in news and politics for 18 months consecutively. Incredibly. The only time we haven't been number one is when we haven't been uploading podcasts, because I've been on a wee break or whatever. That's stunning, that. And I put a map up and you can see on the map where the programme is reaching all over the world. It's down to you. Please support the programme. Go to paypal.me. That's paypal.me, paypal.me/RichieAllen, or go to richieallen.co.uk, and there you will find bank details as well. Thanks to my producer for all her help this week, Claire Calvi, to Simon and to Aaron, and more importantly to you for listening. Thanks so much for tweeting me during the programme today. Have a wonderful weekend. Look after yourselves and one another, and undoubtedly you will join me on Monday. Jordan Maxwell joins me for an extended interview this coming Monday. It's been a while since we heard from him. I can't wait. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.